tonight, and we're going to talk about close encounters. We've been talking about Abraham and Joseph and Moses. We talked about Peter. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, if I'm preaching, the pastor may preach next Sunday night because he's not preaching Sunday morning. So whenever the schedule allows, we're not sure yet. But I'm going to preach close encounters on four great women. And I got to thinking, I don't want to leave you ladies out, because some ladies in the scripture has had some close encounters. Amen. So I'm going to give you four great women the next Sunday that I preach. And then I'm going to talk about the Apostle Paul. And then I'm going to talk about you and how you can tie all of this together. John chapter 21, verses 20 through 25. If you're there, say amen. And Brother Adam, I'd like for you to come and stand beside me. I want you to pray over this message tonight. John chapter 21, verses 20 through 25. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned upon his breast at supper. And so, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Verse 21. And Peter saith unto him, Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Verse 23. And then this saying went of the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if he will that I tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Verse 24. This is the disciple. Talking about John. He's talking about himself. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Verse 25. And there also are many other things, which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Close encounters. And we're going to talk about John tonight. I'm going to ask Reverend Adam Fulgham to take the microphone and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer tonight. Are you glad that he is with us tonight? Can you give him a big Westmoreland welcome tonight? Say a word of prayer, brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity that we have to hear from your word tonight. Your word is powerful, it's sharp with a two-edged sword. God, I pray tonight for your anointing to be upon Brother Ricky to preach your word. Lord, help him to preach. Lord, help him to speak your word in power and in authority tonight. And Lord, let us be receptive to the word of God and let it fall upon good ground and stir within our hearts, God. And we thank you for your presence that we feel, and let us continue in your presence tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place, obviously, tonight. Obviously. You may be seated. Amen. Here we find one of the most intimate accounts in all of the Word of God between man and God. For we see in the first verse of our text, go back to John 21 in verse 20. We see in that first verse that it said that John was known as the disciple who leaned upon the breast or the chest of Jesus. You talk about a close encounter. You talk about intimacy. You talk about a love for the Lord, a closeness. And John is leaning upon his chest and he is hearing the heartbeat of our Savior. And I want to come back to that at the end of this message. But let's talk about the Apostle John. And what I want to do in trying it tonight is to discover who he was, what he was all about, and how he had close encounters with the Lord. And I want to talk to you about his person, his principle, and his passion. First of all, let's consider his person. Who was the Apostle John? If you go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, you will see when Jesus called him to be his follower. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, if you're there, say amen. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and here he is, and John, his brother. They were in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately, somebody say immediately, left the ship and their father, and they followed him. In other words, James and his brother John were out there working on the nets, and Jesus came by and said, drop everything and follow me. And they did. Think of that. They left their business. They left their family. They left everything familiar. And they forsook all. And they followed him. And isn't that the essence of Christianity? We just kind of do our own thing. And all of a sudden we get a summons from the Spirit of God that says, follow me all the way. And I'm so glad that when I was 13 years of age, I heard those words. And I'm so glad that when he said, Ricky, follow me, I'm so glad that I forsook everything that I knew, everything that was dear, everything that clung to me, and I clung to it. I came to a crisis moment, and I said, Lord, I will leave all and follow you. And I want you to know that some of you are out there, you're just kind of doing your own thing tonight. But Jesus is coming by in this service tonight, and he wants you to forsake all and follow him. Have you done that tonight? If you have, will you give him a hand of praise? I'm following Jesus. And as we read about James and John in the gospel, these two brothers, they were, if you read the text and the scriptures, you discover that these two, James and John, they were a handful. I mean, Jesus had two red-hotted fellas when he called James and John. Luke chapter 9 and verse 54, I'm just referencing it. You don't have to pull it up. But we find out that they were at one time decided to call fire down from heaven to consume some people. How many of you know that that's not very compassionate? Can I get a witness? They were so upset with somebody, they said, Lord, call fire down and zap them. Now, I just know that some of you are sanctified and some of you are more sanctified. But every now and then, I've caught myself saying, Lord, would you just zap them, get rid of them. But they were a handful. In fact, in one scripture, it says that James and John even said to Jesus, Lord, can I sit on your right hand in heaven? And can my brother sit on your left hand in heaven? And they even got their mama to go in and try to make the request. I mean, they were just a handful. They were constantly missing it. They were constantly messing up. They were tenacious. They were tough. They were temperamental. They were rugged. They were a type A personality to the max. But my friend, before it was all over, these guys, and particularly John, went from wanting to call fire down from heaven to writing over 80 times more than any other person in the Bible. John went from wanting to zap people to over 80 times mentioning the word love. He is the one that gave us the scripture. This John that was temperamental. This John that wanted to call fire down on people. It is this John that told us many different times, and he gave us the great scripture, little children, love one another. And he gave us the greatest of all scriptures, 1 John 4:8, for God is love. You talk about a transformation, going from trying to kill somebody and zap somebody to trying to save somebody and rescue somebody because of the love of God. What a transformation, what a close encounter with God, because when you've touched the grace of God, and when the grace of God has touched you, you can't help but love one another. Would you give him another hand of praise here tonight? God delights in taking the raw material of our old hang-ups, of our old habits, of our old hurts, and turning it around for his glory. Can you say amen? In fact, there's something very interesting, and I want to go through these very quick. Five times John described himself as one of the disciple whom Jesus loved, John 13 and 23, it says, now there was leaning upon Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. John 19 and verse 26, it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and that disciple standing by whom he loved. Go to John chapter 20 and verse 2. John 20 and verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus, say that with me, whom Jesus loved. John 21 and 7. Are you able to follow me back there? John 21 and 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved. Say it. Whom Jesus loved. John 21 and 20, the last reference. Then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. Say it again. Whom Jesus loved. That's how John described himself. He said, he didn't call himself John. He said, no, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, at first reading, you might not catch a very beautiful point here in that. In other words, he didn't say, I'm the disciple that loved Jesus. I'm the disciple that loved Jesus. I'm the disciple that tithes every week. I'm the disciple that goes to church every week. I'm the disciple who's got it all together. I'm the disciple that's been in Sunday school since 1943. I'm the disciple who's never had a bad hair day. No, 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 no. He didn't say, I'm the disciple who loves Jesus. He said, I am unworthy. I am lower than the lowest. If it weren't for his mercy, I'll tell you who I am tonight. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. He loves me just like I am, and he won't leave me like I am. Aren't you glad tonight to know that no matter how you are and how far you've fallen, you are the disciples whom God loves. I said, God loves me. You ought to shout about it tonight. Oh, his love is to us, although not always from us. What a beautiful picture of grace. Did you know that John, it's recorded in history that Jesus said to John, take care of my mother. When Jesus was dying on the cross, here's a man who wanted to call fire down from heaven. But no, God said, no, I'm changing you, and I want you to care for my mother. And history tells us, extra biblical sources tell us that John did nothing else until Jesus' mother passed away. Which tells me that sometimes in our lives, we may only have a ministry to one person. You may not preach to the multitudes like Reverend Adam Fulgham, who preaches to hundreds and one day will preach to thousands and even millions on TV. You may not preach to those, but I promise you every now and then there may become one little child in your Sunday school class, one Royal Ranger in our fort. There may come a time when your spouse develops a disease and you can't do other things like you want to do, and you may be changing the bed sheets, but what you're doing is you're ministering to one person. Oh, let me tell you, friend, that is genuine love. That is genuine compassion. And you can have close encounters with God when you're ministering to just one, like Brother Ray is ministering to his wife. He's been a deacon in the church for years and decades. He's oversaw budgets and been a pastor's friend and been a prayer warrior. But now his ministry is to his wife. And I'm telling you, you can have close encounters when you minister to whoever is the Lord puts in your path. It may be just one at the job. It may be just your neighbor across the street. But you can have close encounters when you minister to just one. That's who John was. He took care of one person. That was his motive. And then his mother passed away. Jesus' mother passed away. And here's something interesting. I said God called James and John. When you look at the book of Acts, these two brothers, James, his brother, was the first to die as the apostles. Go back and check it out. James was the very first to die. And interestingly enough, John was the last apostle to die. Now, doesn't that seem quite unfair? In our vantage point, it may. Why didn't God allow James to have a long and fruitful ministry? Surely he was an apostle, and yet his brother lived to be the oldest. It reminds me of Brother Tommy McGee and David McGee. They're two great preachers in the Western North Carolina Conference. David McGee was the brother that was rising and was on tap to be the conference superintendent. But David McGee come down with cancer and passed away. And the conference was looking for the superintendent, and somebody got on the conference floor and said, well, if we can't have David, one McGee, maybe the Lord has given us another McGee. And they put his name in the nomination out of a shock. And Tommy McGee served as a superintendent for many years, and even just a few months ago came to our pulpit. His brother, I thought about it when he was preaching about his brother is not with us in heaven, but yet Tommy has, we don't understand the mysteries of God. But here's one thing I can tell you. When it's all said and done, I think David will be a lot more glad that I got to heaven first. I got to see him face to face first. You had to go through the trials and the tests and the torture and the Isle of Patmos, and you had to go through rejection and pain and hurt. But I saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Folks, when it all gets down to it, we're headed to a better place, and somebody may get there before us. Somebody may be taken on, but just know this, God has a plan for every one of us, and if he takes us early, praise God. If he leaves us here, praise God. But I believe the Lord has a plan, and God's going to fulfill it. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And if your brother passes on and you're left behind, you still got a work to do. If your spouse passes on, you still got a work to do. If your children pass on, God forbid, you still have a work to do. If God calls anyone home, and you're left behind, tell somebody you still got a work to do. You can still have close encounters with God. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. He said, I'm going to keep on. That was his person. Number two, I want to talk to you about his principles, because we find John's principles in the five books of the Bible he wrote. He wrote five books of the Bible. He wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and he wrote the book of John. And interestingly, when you study the book of John, you will find a complete portrait of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John is different and comes from his perspective that is more unique than the other three evangelists. John takes a different approach. In fact, in all 21 chapters, you can see that Jesus is portrayed in a different light. In chapter 1, Jesus is portrayed as God. The Word was flesh and dwelt among us and was God. In chapter 2, he's portrayed as the miracle worker. When he turned, how many of you need some miracles tonight? In chapter 3, he was portrayed as the Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Chapter 4, he's portrayed as the soul winner with the woman at the well. Chapter 5, he's portrayed as the healer with the man at the pool of Bethesda. In chapter 6, he is the bread of life. In chapter 7, he is satisfying if any man thirst. In chapter 8, he's the forgiver of sins, a woman caught in adultery. Chapter 9, he's portrayed as the blind eye opener. Chapter 10, he's portrayed as the door and the shepherd. In chapter 11, when he raises Lazarus, he's portrayed as the resurrection and the life. In chapter 12, he is the lifted up one. In chapter 13, he is the servant who washes the disciples' feet. In chapter 14, he is the one going to prepare a mansion for us. In chapter 15, he is the vine. In chapter 16, he gives us the comforter. In chapter 17, he is the high priest. In chapter 18, he is the Lamb of God as he suffers. In chapter 19, he is a sacrifice on the cross. But in chapter 20, he's the resurrection and the resurrected Lord. And in chapter 21, he is the restorer, as he says, I'm going to restore Peter and I'm going to restore John. Aren't you glad for the book of John and for close encounters? I tell you, oh, in John 21, go ahead. John 21 and 25, John said, look, I've given you 21 chapters, but there are so many other things which Jesus did. If they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world could not contain it. My God, I love this scripture because that lets me know he's done so many things. We can't catalog it. We can't log it. We can't put it on the internet. And here's the good news. He's still working tonight. He's still resurrecting. He's still forgiving. He's still giving close encounters with the Lord tonight. Somebody shout amen. Amen. That's the book of John. And then he wrote the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And in these books, he emphasizes that word love. These things, 1st John 5 and 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. He is writing so that you may know. Aren't you glad that you can know that you're saved? If he asked somebody, am I saved? Well, I don't know. What you're doing is you're trusting yourself. But when you trust the Lord, he said, you can know that you are son of God. And he talks about love. And I'm skipping a lot here. And then finally, he writes the greatest, one of the greatest books of all. It's hard to equate the word of God. He writes the book of Revelation. Now he's older. Now he's persecutor. And by the way, getting back to love, history records that as he got older, he would go and visit the churches and he would always preach a message and he would look at the congregation and say, little children, love one another. What a transformation. Can I tell you, Westmoreland Church, you're in a church that is a great church, but not a perfect church. You're in a church of people. And can I exhort you tonight to do this? Can you love one another? This doesn't really apply to our church, but I promise you that I know of churches tonight that are deeply divided. I was on the phone with a pastor from another conference, and he was telling me about one of their larger churches. And the pastor has just left, and this group is formed against this group, and many have left. And the former superintendent, Dole Marley, has stepped in with his wisdom, and he was one of the founders of the church there. So he has stepped in to pastor the church until they can get settled down, and then they'll call another pastor. And my friend was telling me that even Bishop Dole Marley and his years of experience is just frustrated. And the bottom line is this: somebody has lost love for somebody in that church. Little children, we got to love one another. And love has to be worked on. And there's some people that you know, it takes a little more to work on that love. Can I get a witness? If you're sitting beside somebody that you feel that way, don't look at them tonight. Amen. You just say hallelujah. Come on. But I'm telling you, we got to love one another. Amen. We got to love one another when we fail. We got to love our preacher when he messes up, with very rare times that he's ever messed up. We got to love the deacons when they drop the ball. We got to love one another. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Come on. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Everybody, it's good enough for me. Come on and praise him tonight. If you're going to love one another. And then he went to the book of Revelation. And John is now older and he's persecuted. And they banish him to the island volcanic ash heap called Patmos. You wouldn't want to go there. I promise you, Sims is a lot better place than Patmos. He's banished to die. And Christianity is strong, but it's still small and vulnerable. And there he is, this older man. And he has served God for many years. And he's been faithful to God. And he's loved others. And he's loved God. And he wakes up one day and he finds himself confined to an island called Patmos. Now, John could have been a little upset about that. John could have said, Lord, I've worked for you for many years and I've served you many years and I don't have long left, but why am I banished to this island? Why am I here? There are going to come times in your life you're going to say, Lord, why am I here? Come on now. Why am I on this job? Why am I in this position? Why am I in this neighborhood? Why? Because it's difficult. It's tough. It doesn't turn out like you think. But that's not what the attitude that John took. Pastor, would you join me on the stage and tell that story about the man that went to the place and said, I love it, I love it, I love it. Tell me that story. Come on up. Amen. Tell that story up here for live stream. Now, this is the attitude we're talking about.
Well, I got to think of the story first.
The man said, I love it, I love it, I love it. You
know? Oh, yeah, they took this man and carried him into the rest home that he was going to be staying in, and they wheelchair him into the vestibule there. He said, I love it, I love it, I love it. They carried him and showed him the dining hall. He said, I love it, I love it, I love it. They carried him and showed him the rehab area. I love it. I love it. I love it. They said, we're going to carry you now and show you your room. He said, I love it. I love it. I love it. They said, what do you mean you love it? You haven't even seen it yet. He said, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it because I decided to love it.
Amen. Come on. I decided to love it. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. And here's what happened. On the Isle of Patmos, here it is. Read it out loud with me. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Say it again. I was in the Spirit on the Lord. Brother and sister, you may be on a hard, craggy place in life. You may not be where you want to be. You may be in a difficult place, a difficult surrounding. But I'm here to tell you, what's on the outside cannot touch what's on the inside. I was in the Spirit down in the dumps. I was in the Spirit on the job site. It was hard. I was in the Spirit in that bad neighborhood. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And brother, when you have that kind of attitude, you're going to see things that this world has never seen before. Can you say amen? And he had a close encounter with God. And he gave us the vision of the revelation, the seven churches, the sevenfold Spirit of God. And Brother Clark, will you come and so we can wrap this up tonight. At least give people the indication that we're getting closer to the runway. Amen. And I'll let you know when to start playing. But we have the vision of things to come. And go to Revelation 22 and 17. And here John closes the Bible with these words. John 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, and let him that heareth say, and let him that is thirsty, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This man who had close encounters with God, his last word to us is simply this: if you knew how good he was, you'd come. If you knew how powerful he was, you wouldn't stay in your seat. If you knew how glorious it was, if you knew how worth it all, every tear, every trial, every heartache, you would come. My friend, that's the essence of close encounters. John's person, John's principles, and finally, John's passion. Because I want to leave you where I started tonight, and that is with John laying on the bosom of Jesus. And he is hearing a heartbeat. And that heartbeat is the heartbeat of God. And I asked myself one time, what is the heartbeat of God? What makes God's heart beat? Now, we know he doesn't need a heart to exist. He exists beyond a human body. Can you say amen? But his heart did beat. And if you ask what Jesus' heart beat for, I believe his heart beats for service. He wants us to serve people. You can't have a close encounter with God and stay in touch with God and not be a serving to other people and sharing what you have. You need to tell people how the Lord has blessed you. He had a heartbeat for souls. Does your heart beat for souls? Don't tell me you got a close encounter and you've never shed a tear for others. Don't you want people to have what we've had tonight? Don't you want people to experience what you're experiencing? And Jesus had a heartbeat for his church. Oh, don't tell me you got close encounters and you can stay home and just get it on your couch eating a bag of potato chips. No, sir. You got to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. You'll have close. Brother, didn't you have some close encounters tonight in his church? Amen. And I'll tell you the final thing his heart beat for, and John's passion and our passion is for you and I to have those kind of close encounters with the Lord. Hear him as he says, you want a close encounter? Then love one another. You want to have a close encounter? Then don't give up on yourself. If he can change me, then he can change you. If you want a close encounter, then read the book of Revelation and know that he is soon to return and he's coming with thousands of his saints. Oh, if you want a close encounter, then fall in love with Jesus. Rest on him. Know these things are written that you may know that you're saved. You want to have a close encounter, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Would you give him a hand of praise for a close encounter with Brother John tonight? Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Come to Jesus today. Lay your weary head upon his shoulder. Cast all your care upon him. Take your burdens. Why do you carry your burdens? Why don't you lay them at his feet? Why don't you rest upon the Son of God? Why don't you trust him with life? Why don't you trust him with death? Why don't you trust him with today? And why don't you trust him with tomorrow? And why don't you trust him when you're on that island called Patmos? Is anybody here tonight in a tough place? Are you in a tough place? Well, I can tell you, God's there with you. Lay your head on his shoulder. Trust in him. And Father, tonight, lift your hands tonight as they begin to sing and play. Father, tonight, we thank you for close encounters. And Lord, we thank you for John's person and John's principles and John's passion. We thank you that those things were written down, can never be written down. And you're still working in our lives. And you're still working in our church. And we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And we thank you for close encounters with the Lord tonight. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Singing that tonight. Worship him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I want a close encounter with you tonight. Oh.